Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the podcast where we dig into the silicon, the servers, and the infrastructure powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in a meaningful way, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, we've got a packed episode today. We're talking liquid cooling, unlocking the full potential of NVIDIA's latest GPUs, a new enterprise Blackwell server card, a $350 million bet against NVIDIA's dominance, and OpenAI dropping their very first custom AI chip. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off with a topic that honestly doesn't get enough attention, liquid cooling in data centers, and specifically how it's becoming almost a requirement if you want to actually run NVIDIA's H100. H200, and Blackwell GPUs at full throttle. This comes from a NASSCOM piece, and it really crystallizes something the industry has been grappling with for the past couple of years. So here's the deal. These modern AI GPUs are absolute power monsters. The H100 SXM variant can pull around 700 watts on its own. The H200 pushes that even further, and Blackwell? We're talking about chips that can exceed 1,000 watts per GPU in certain configurations. Now multiply that across a rack full of those things, and you're looking at thermal loads that traditional air cooling simply cannot handle. Think of it this way. Imagine trying to cool a bonfire with a desk fan. That's essentially what you're asking air cooling to do when you pack these chips together. The fans just can't move enough air fast enough to keep temperatures in the safe zone. And when GPUs overheat, they throttle. They slow themselves down to protect the hardware, which means you're paying for all that silicon and not actually getting the performance you paid for. That's where liquid cooling comes in, and there are really two main approaches the industry is using right now. The first is direct liquid cooling, or DLC, where you're running coolant through cold plates that sit directly on top of the chips. The second is full immersion cooling, where you literally submerge the servers in a dielectric fluid, a non-conductive liquid that pulls heat away incredibly efficiently. Both approaches can handle dramatically higher thermal densities than air. We're talking about data centers that can go from supporting maybe 10 to 20 kilowatts per rack with air to 50, 80, even over 100 kilowatts per rack with liquid. That's a massive difference, and it's not just about keeping things cool, it's about density. It's about power efficiency, and ultimately, it's about cost per AI computation. NVIDIA has been pretty vocal about this. Their NVLink and NVSwitch interconnect topology, which is how all those GPUs talk to each other at insane bandwidth, works best when you can pack GPUs tightly together. And packing them tightly together generates more heat. So liquid cooling isn't just a nice to have. For Blackwell in particular, if you want to run full DGX systems or HGX configurations at rated performance, you really need it. The implications here are significant for data center operators and for anyone building new AI infrastructure. If you're planning a new facility and you're not designing around liquid cooling from day one, you're already behind. The hyperscalers, your Metas, your Microsofts, your Googles, they've known this for a while and have been retrofitting and building fresh with liquid in mind. But the mid-tier operators and enterprises are now facing this reality too. There's also a supply chain angle here. Companies like Vertiv, Coolit Systems, Esatec, they're all ramping up to meet this demand. And it's creating a whole new layer of the data center ecosystem that investors and operators need to understand. The GPU is just one piece of the puzzle. The cooling infrastructure around it is equally critical to making these AI workloads actually perform. Bottom line, if you want to squeeze every last flop out of your NVIDIA silicon, whether that's H100, H200, or the new Blackwell lineup, liquid cooling isn't optional anymore. It's the foundation that makes the whole thing work. Really important piece of the broader AI infrastructure story. Next up, let's talk about something that came out of NVIDIA's developer blog, and this one is squarely aimed at the enterprise market. NVIDIA announced the RTX Prio 4500 Blackwell Server Edition paired with their VGPU 20 software platform. This is a really interesting product because it's not targeting the massive H100 hyperscale crowd, it's targeting the enterprise IT department. So what is this thing exactly? The RTX Prio 4500 is built on the Blackwell architecture, same fundamental GPU design that powers those beastly data center cards, but it's tuned for professional workloads in a server context. Think virtualization, CAD, design tools, engineering simulations, and increasingly, running AI models that are getting baked into everyday productivity software. NVIDIA's blog post specifically called out Microsoft Office as an example, which I thought was a telling choice. Because if AI is showing up in Office, and it absolutely is, with Copilot features everywhere, then every enterprise that runs Office on virtual desktops suddenly has a hardware problem they might not have fully accounted for. You need GPU compute to run those AI features smoothly, and you need it in a way that can be shared across many users. That's where the vGPU software layer comes in. vGPU, Virtual GPU, is NVIDIA's technology that lets a single physical GPU be sliced up and shared across multiple virtual machines or virtual desktops. So instead of giving every employee their own dedicated GPU, you can have a server with a handful of RTX Pro 4500 cards, virtualize them, and distribute that compute across dozens or even hundreds of users. Version 20 of the vGPU platform is bringing better AI workload handling, improved scheduling, and tighter integration with enterprise software stacks. The idea is that as AI gets woven into every application, your CAD tools, your document editors, your communication platforms, the infrastructure underneath needs to be able to serve all of that simultaneously without things grinding to a halt. Think of it like a shared printer in an office. Back in the day, you had to walk over and use a centralized printer rather than everyone having their own. vGPU does something similar with GPU compute, centralize the resource, manage access intelligently, and make sure everyone gets what they need when they need it. It's a much more efficient use of expensive silicon. The Blackwell architecture specifically brings some real advantages here. The new transformer engine improvements, better mixed precision support, and more efficient memory handling all translate into being able to serve more concurrent AI workloads per card. That's a direct business value proposition, more users served, lower cost per seat. Now, why does this matter for the broader industry? Because it signals that the AI hardware wave isn't just about hyperscalers training massive foundation models anymore. It's now descending into the enterprise IT stack. Every mid-sized company running virtual desktops, every enterprise with a VDI deployment, virtual desktop infrastructure, is going to need to think about GPU capacity in a way they never did before. NVIDIA is smart to address this market with a purpose-built product. The data center AI chips are overkill and frankly too expensive for this use case. The RTX Prio 400 and 500 server edition slots in as the right tool for the job, professional grade, virtualization optimized, and priced for enterprise budgets rather than hyperscale ones. Solid move from NVIDIA to expand the addressable market for Blackwell down into the enterprise tier. All right, story three, and this one is really interesting for anyone watching the competitive landscape around NVIDIA. A company called TensorWave just raised $350 million with the explicit goal of helping break NVIDIA's AI chip monopoly. This was reported by SiliconANGLE, and it's a big deal. So who is TensorWave? They're a data center infrastructure startup, and crucially, they've built their infrastructure around AMD's Instinct GPUs rather than NVIDIA's ecosystem. The $350 million raise is going to go toward expanding their data center capacity and making AMD-based AI compute more accessible to customers who either can't get NVIDIA GPUs because allocations are still incredibly tight or who want to reduce their dependence on NVIDIA's ecosystem. Let's talk about the NVIDIA monopoly angle here. Because it's real, NVIDIA controls something like 70 to 80% of the AI accelerator market right now. Their CUDA software ecosystem, which is the programming platform that developers use to write code for NVIDIA GPUs, has been built up over nearly two decades. It's deeply entrenched. Most AI frameworks, most model training code, most inference engines, they're all optimized first and foremost for CUDA and NVIDIA hardware. That's a massive moat. It's not just about the hardware being good, which it is. It's about the software ecosystem that makes developers choose NVIDIA by default. AMD has been working hard to close this gap with their ROCm software platform, but it's genuinely been an uphill battle. The compatibility, the performance parity, the tooling, it's gotten much better, but it's not fully there yet for every workload. But here's where TensorWave's bet gets interesting. They're essentially saying, look, the gap is close enough now, and the demand for AI compute is so enormous that there's a real market for AMD-based alternatives, especially for inference workloads, which are less sensitive to some of the ecosystem differences than training. If you're just running a model that's already been trained, the hardware requirements are a bit more flexible. The timing is notable too. AMD's MI300X and the upcoming MI350 series have actually been getting pretty strong reviews for certain workloads. For inference in particular, the MI300X's massive 122 GB of HBM3 memory, that's the high bandwidth memory on the chip, actually gives it some real advantages for running very large language models that need to keep a lot of data on chip at once. Think of it like this. If NVIDIA's H100 is a very fast race car with a regular-sized fuel tank, the MI300X is a slightly slower car, but with an enormous fuel tank. For certain long-haul workloads, that bigger tank matters a lot. Large model inference is exactly that kind of workload. $350 million is serious money. It signals that investors believe there's a viable path to building out non-NVIDIA AI infrastructure at scale. And honestly, for the health of the industry, that's a good thing. Competition drives innovation, it keeps pricing in check, and it reduces single-vendor risk for everyone building on top of this infrastructure. Whether TensorWave can actually make a dent in NVIDIA's dominance is an open question, but the fact that serious capital is flowing into AMD-based alternatives tells you something important about where the market is heading. The monoculture of NVIDIA is starting to crack, even if just at the edges, and that's going to be one of the defining storylines of the next few years in AI infrastructure. And now for the story that I think has the biggest long-term implications. OpenAI's unveiled their first-ever custom AI inference chip, and they're calling it Jalapeno. This was reported by VentureBeat, and it's genuinely a significant moment in the AI hardware space. Let's start with the basics. Jalapeno is a custom ASIC, application-specific integrated circuit, designed specifically for AI inference. It was built in partnership with Broadcom, one of the major chip design and manufacturing services companies in the world. And here's the fascinating meta angle. OpenAI used their own AI models to help speed up the chip's development process. We'll come back to that because it's a really interesting detail. So why does OpenAI building their own chip matter so much? Right now, OpenAI is one of the largest customers of NVIDIA in the world. They've spent staggering amounts of money on H100s and H200s to train GPT-4o1 and all the models powering ChatGPT. And as their inference demands have grown, serving hundreds of millions of queries every day, those GPU bills have become enormous. Building a custom chip is fundamentally a cost play. A chip designed specifically for inference, with no generality overhead, can be dramatically more efficient for that specific task. Think about it this way. A Swiss Army knife is great because it does many things, but if you only ever need a knife, a dedicated chef's knife is going to outperform it every time. General-purpose GPUs are the Swiss Army knife of compute. They're incredibly flexible. But a custom inference chip is that dedicated chef's knife. Fewer features, but razor-sharp at the one thing it's built to do. The Broadcom partnership is the right call for a first chip. Broadcom has deep expertise in custom silicon and has worked with hyperscalers before. They've been involved in Google's TPU supply chain for years. OpenAI gets to leverage Broadcom's engineering infrastructure, their manufacturing relationships, and their design expertise while contributing the AI workload knowledge and system integration side. The detail about using OpenAI's own models to accelerate chip development is genuinely fascinating and speaks to something bigger. Chip design, the EDA process, the verification, the physical layout is incredibly complex and time-consuming. Using AI to assist with things like architecture exploration, bug detection, or optimizing circuit layouts can shave months off a development cycle. This is AI accelerating AI hardware development, which is a feedback loop that's only going to get more powerful over time. Now, Jalapeno is specifically an inference chip, not a training chip. That's an important distinction. Training requires different computational characteristics. You need to do lots of backpropagation, gradient calculations, that kind of thing. Inference is about taking a trained model and running it forward as efficiently as possible. For OpenAI's current needs, serving ChatGPT, the API, enterprise products inference is the dominant cost. So this is the right first chip to build. The name Jalapeno is fun and it fits a naming convention we might expect from OpenAI to get spicier over time, pun intended. But jokes aside, the implications are serious. This is OpenAI making a long-term statement that they don't want to be entirely dependent on NVIDIA forever. It's the same playbook we've seen from Google with TPUs, from Amazon with Trainium and Inferentia, from Meta with their MTIA chip. Every major AI company at scale eventually looks at their GPU bill and starts thinking about custom silicon. It's almost a rite of passage at this point. The economics just work out if your workloads are large enough and consistent enough, and at OpenAI's scale, they absolutely are. What this means for NVIDIA is worth thinking about carefully. In the short and medium term, OpenAI is still going to buy a ton of NVIDIA silicon. You need GPUs for training, and Jalapeno is an inference chip. But long term, every query that gets served by Jalapeno instead of an H100 is revenue that doesn't flow to NVIDIA. As OpenAI scales further and potentially builds training chips down the road, that pressure only grows. This is a landmark moment. OpenAI went from being a pure consumer of other silicon to becoming a silicon company in their own right. The AI hardware landscape just got a new and very significant player, and the ripple effects of this are going to be felt across the entire ecosystem for years to come. Huge story. All right, folks, that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. What a week it's been, liquid cooling becoming the backbone of serious AI infrastructure, NVIDIA pushing Blackwell into the enterprise with the RTX PoE 4500, TensorWave throwing down $350 million to challenge NVIDIA's dominance with AMD Silicon, and OpenAI officially entering the chip game with Jalapeno. Lots to chew on. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Check the link in show notes to learn more about both. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share it with someone who geeks out on this stuff as much as we do. Show notes with all the details and sources are linked up for you. Until next time, keep your silicon cool and your bandwidth high. I'm Skylar Monroe, and I'll catch you on the next one.